as an assistant administrator, and now in my current role, Life Services Network, or LSN, as we're frequently referred to, is one of the provider associations in the state that provides advocacy and education and training for nursing homes. Our particular association represents nursing homes and assisted living, supportive living, and home and community-based agencies such as hospice and home health care. And in my particular role, I provide some technical support to nursing homes, answer questions about regulations, quality improvement, and also participate on the advocacy sides of things in Springfield. So that's just a little bit about me. And this is a topic, again, I'd say is very near and dear to my heart because I did spend about 4 or 5 years working as a care plan coordinator in a facility downstate in Illinois. So I think I have a lot of experience. I'd start with reviewing what the expectations are in terms of the regulations for skilled nursing facilities. And these come from federal regulations. And so nursing homes are required to generate a resident's first plan of care, certainly within 21 days of their arrival or their admission to the nursing home. But there should also be an interim nursing care plan that begins to guide the resident's care from the day that they really set foot into the facility. And a care plan should do just that. It should really give instruction to any of the staff members that are caring for the individual, instruction on what it is, how we should go about providing that care. So what the resident's goals and wishes for treatment are, one of the things that I'll talk a little bit more, and I know Nancy will talk about later as well. But that care plan should really give instruction to the staff on the care that that resident should receive while in the facility. So that first care plan, as I mentioned, is required to be completed within 21 days after admission. And generally, the regulations require that it's revisited at least on a quarterly basis. So at least every 90 days. Facilities should be reviewing that care plan, making sure that the interventions that are outlined in that care plan are still appropriate for the individual resident, make sure the goals are still appropriate. Oftentimes, residents might meet goals that had been set for them in that 90-day period, so it would be appropriate and certainly expected that those goals would be adjusted to reflect the changes that may have occurred with the resident over that time. Certainly nothing precludes, nor should a facility not have a good system in place for updating that care plan in between the 90 days, but stating that 90 days is at least the minimum expectation facilities are held to. Jumping a little bit ahead in terms of care plan meetings. Now, another requirement in the regulations is that there are periodic reviews of the plan of care, the care plan, with the resident and family or anyone else that the resident may designate as wanting to share that information with. And again, those are typically held quarterly in the form of care plan meetings, where individuals from the interdisciplinary team get together with the resident, certainly, and with family members or maybe a significant other. Again, it depends on the resident, what abilities they still maintain. Some individuals are not able to make that decision, maybe because of some dementia or other factors. But certainly a facility should honor the resident's request for individuals to be present during the care plan. It might also be, and Nancy can speak to this far better than I, it might be the ombudsman that attends the care plan. Probably many of you well know, navigating the healthcare system is challenging enough, and long-term care has its own set of challenges. So having someone there that can really help the resident to understand and ask the right questions, I think, is very important. So when that care plan meeting takes place, it's an opportunity for the resident, first and foremost, and again, maybe a family member, to offer some assistance and some feedback for what things should be included in that care plan. And when Nancy and I spoke yesterday, we were both in complete agreement. I think the regulations don't necessarily require facilities to do that in the right order. My opinion is if we're going to develop a care plan for a resident, then the family and the resident, certainly the resident is involved, but, you know, the resident's family and significant others should be involved while the care plan's developed and not necessarily after the fact. And I think we see that. That's commonplace in long-term care. It's accepted. But I think ideally we'd like to see as much participation on the front end and then a meeting to just review and make sure that everyone agrees with the plan. The care plan should be multidisciplinary, and the regulations actually mention interdisciplinary, but I like to think in terms of multidisciplines, and that includes all the departments in the nursing home that may lay a hand on that resident or have some involvement. So it's not just about nursing. You know, often a care plan is referred to as a nursing care plan, but it's very much about dietary and their nutritional needs, their psychosocial needs, so from the social services department and some of the support that they are able to give the resident, activities, therapy, so physical, occupational, and speech therapy. So multidisciplinary means just that you have all the disciplines there that have a hand or are involved at all in the resident's care to be there and be able to discuss that plan of care. The resident, most certainly, again, I think I already mentioned that, should attend the care plan meeting as well and should be an active participant to the extent that he or she is willing to do so. But that's really, really key. I wanted to have sort of made a list in preparation for our call tonight of do's and don'ts. Again, because I've been a part of so many care plans, and I've also had family members who have had short stays in nursing homes, and so certainly I've been on both sides, but more experience on the side of being the staff person. And so I've attended and I think facilitated a lot of excellent care plan meetings, but I also had a lot to learn along the way. So no one, you know, your first care plan meeting is not always easy, but you learn, and you learn how to conduct that in a thoughtful, caring way and in a very efficient way. And so, again, I came up with several do's and don'ts that I believe might be good ideas to consider with the care plan conference and care plan meeting. So the first do is participate. I think that's just so important that you're able to do that. And that doesn't necessarily have to happen in person. If you're not able to get to the facility, you're a family member, our loved one, and you're not able to get to the facility, it is perfectly acceptable to contact that facility and say, could we handle this by conference call? Could I call in and you put me on a speaker phone or line, and can I participate that way? And that would be acceptable. But certainly you'd want to give the facility some advance notice so they could make those preparations and be in a room where the speaker phone was available. So definitely participation. It really is critical because The facility is required to do a number of assessments in preparation for the care plan, but, you know, assessments don't necessarily get to the real heart of the resident and what their preferences are. You know, I think of just these little things that each and every one of us does on a daily basis that are so important to us. Maybe to someone else it may seem trivial or unimportant, but it's what makes us comfortable in our lives. And so I think tried to think about that when I was a care plan nurse. You know, what are the things that are really important to me, parts of my routine that just get me off on the right foot every morning and get me going? And I'll be honest, one of mine is having a cup of coffee. And so, you know, those are important things to know, and sometimes the resident's not always able to tell the staff things like that. And I'll give you another example because I'll never, ever forget this. And before I joined LSN, I worked in another facility as a director of nursing and assistant administrator. And I had, I think, one of my proudest moments with my staff there. And that was I went in to answer a resident's call light, and two CNAs were already in the room. And they were getting the individual ready for bed at night. And I heard the veteran CNA telling this newer CNA what this particular resident really needed to have to be able to be comfortable, and so that she wasn't putting her call light on 5 minutes after the staff left the room. And she told her, now, if you put a tissue in her left hand, make sure that you put lotion on her legs, and make sure you take her blanket and tuck it in very tightly around her. That will help make her feel very secure, and that's what she needs to be able to go to sleep and to rest well. And so I felt, again, very proud that either someone, a family member or loved one, had taken the time to communicate that information, or staff had maybe taken some steps over the months or years preceding this to obtain that information. And I think those, again, those are the things that residents can't always provide information to the staff about, but certainly they are very important to the residents' overall comfort and well-being. So a relatively simple example, but those are the things that staff really need to hear from you as loved ones and family members to really make their stay as best as we can. Again, you know, I mentioned a multidisciplinary approach to care planning and care planning conferences, but if, for example, a resident is not currently receiving any therapy programs and perhaps you have concerns about the way that they're walking or they're not walking, you can't assume that that therapist is going to be at the care plan. So it's a good idea to, once you know the care plan conference has been scheduled, to ask the facility, boy, I would really like it if the physical therapist or the occupational therapist, whatever the case may be, if they could be there during their care plan conference, because I have some concerns about the way, you know, perhaps my mom is walking or not walking. And so giving them a little advance notice is very helpful so that they get the right staff there at the right time. One of my don'ts with care plan conferences is that don't use that time for raising concerns about care. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I think it's just not the right time. And let me give you an example. I have sat in care plan meetings where families use that time every 3 months or every 90 days to come in and say, well, 2 months ago, I noticed, you know, that my mom was in the same position she was when I had visited at lunchtime and I came back in the evening. So the problem with doing something like that, I mean, is that things like that should be reported immediately. And we don't necessarily want to use the care plan conference time for raising concerns. Again, it's not that you can't, but it's better to raise those concerns as they occur. because if a correction of a staff member is needed or an investigation needs to be completed, better that that's done right away. But somehow I felt there were some facilities that thought that that was sort of their mechanism for voicing any concerns was just during their care plan meeting. And I always tried, especially as a director of nursing, to try to inform my families and educate them and say, please bring these to my attention as they occur so we can address them right away. We also want a behavior that's occurring, such as, you know, maybe the resident isn't being moved or put in a favorite chair or something, to go on for weeks at a time without it being addressed. So that was one of the things on my list of don'ts, is don't wait, bring those things to the staff's attention if there are concerns. Let's see. I want to just go over my notes again here so I don't forget anything. I think the other thing is, again, I've already highlighted the importance of participation. I guess the other don't I would offer is don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid. You know, again, the healthcare system in our country is difficult, and so don't be afraid to ask those questions. And but certainly, if you're raising new issues or have new areas that maybe you're addressing with the resident, or maybe some areas that need to be reviewed with the physician, you should always allow that facility a reasonable amount of time to get back to you if they're not able to give those answers right away during the care plan conference. But just to summarize briefly, and I'm happy to offer more comments later as questions and other things arise, participate, make that a really valuable time where you're able to make sure that the care plan reflects what the resident wants for their care, and if they're not able to state that you are their proxy and you're giving that information to the staff, what you think they would want for their care. And participate, and make sure if any concerns are brought to the attention of staff as they occur. I hope you find that information helpful. And again, certainly I would welcome the opportunity to elaborate on that, but I know Nancy has some comments that she would also like to make. So I'll turn it over to you, Nancy.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. I think you did a nice job underscoring and outlining some of the things that are really important for families and residents to think about as they're approaching a care conference. One of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking is that sometimes the reason that care plans are used as perhaps the first time concerns are discussed is because families aren't always able to connect with people in the facility perhaps the way they want. And so I wanted to encourage a couple of things that I found helpful when I was an ombudsman with families. I absolutely encouraged families and residents to think about what issues they were concerned about as the care plan was approaching, and indeed it encouraged them to bring them up as they occurred. I would agree with Kathy on that. But if for some reason you haven't been able to address them, really being thoughtful about how you'd like to use the care plan meeting. And I encouraged families to let the facility staff know ahead of time what was on their mind, including, again, as Kathy said, who they'd like to make sure is at the care plan meeting so issues can be addressed that perhaps have been unresolved. One of the things that I thought is really important is that care plan meetings, facilities have a challenge of scheduling a lot of people in sometimes a short period of time. So if you know you're going to need more than a 10-minute care plan conference, I think it's really good to let the facility know that you'd like a longer period of time. You might want to request that you're the last care plan meeting of the day, or perhaps you're at a time when just the facility staff can really focus just on you and aren't pressured by several families following behind you. The other thing that you can do is if the time that the facility has scheduled your relative's care plan conference for is not convenient for you, let them know that. Not every family can come in during the day, and so you talk to the facility about what time would work for you. Having your care plan meeting at a later period of the day may work for you, but the thing you need to know is that you may not have as many staff there as you would like to have. So it's important to know there's some trade-offs, but you can ask for a different time that works for you and your family. As Kathy said, anyone that the resident wants to be at the care plan meeting can be there. And yes, as an ombudsman, I sat through a lot of care plan meetings and helped residents and families think through how they wanted to frame their question and how they wanted to discuss what a particular topic. I think it is really helpful for families to be clear about what they want to get out of the meeting and their questions, as we talked about. And to think about, as they're talking with the staff, what are realistic time frames and goals as they're talking. I think Kathy touched on that. It may take a while to resolve an issue, so being thoughtful about that as you're approaching it is helpful. Having staff that are familiar with your relative at the conference can be really helpful. Often professionals are in the room, but let's not forget how critical it can be to have the CNA, the nurse's aide that is your mother's favorite person in that room, talking about what is important to your mother or your father. It really can be helpful to have the aides there. And then laying out what the goals are, and you talked about what topics, but also what the goals of the meeting are you want it to be. And I'm thinking particularly of when my mother was in a long-term care facility for rehab about a year ago. She developed an infection and then through a sort of an odd series of events took a medication that ended up kind of freezing her shoulders. So she wasn't able to take care of herself as she had been. And so she went in for rehab. The facility, it seemed really important to her and I that the facility know that her goal was to get home, that this was a short-term stay for her. And so we requested a care plan meeting fairly early in her rehab, not because we thought that they would have all the answers about what she could do, but because we wanted to make sure that everyone was focusing on the same goal, which was getting my mother home to her apartment. And that turned out to be a profoundly wonderful experience for her. The staff in that facility, each of them that presented directly to her and really solicited her opinions and really focused their discussion towards her goals and what they as a discipline could help her to get home. And so that really, in my mind, was a really excellent care plan meeting and had me thinking a lot about some of the care plan meetings I'd attended. Again, would agree with Kathy that you not wait till the last, to the care plan meeting to raise an issue, but to do that as it goes along. It's so much easier to have that resolved. But I would also encourage you, if you're having trouble getting hold of somebody in the facility, using emails. I had several facilities that I worked with who preferred email because it was a way for them to keep track of what concerns had come in and what concerns they'd addressed. So think about creative ways. Talk with the facility that your relative's in about how they like to be communicated with, and they may find that emailing with you or the phone calls, depending, may be the best way to handle things. The last piece, I think, before we open it up for questions, is that I think it's really important to take a really respectful tone as we're talking to each other. You absolutely want to make sure that you're being taken seriously and that your concerns are being taken seriously. And one of the best ways to do that is to be really clear about what you need, but to also really be respectful in your stance as you speak with the facility staff so that they hear you. You want to make sure that they're really attending to your concerns, and that seems to work. I think that just works better than getting into kind of a confrontational stance, which sometimes, if we're frustrated about something, can happen. So those are my thoughts for the moment.
Kathy, did you want to add anything before opening up for questions?
No, I don't believe so. I think Nancy touched on the things that I didn't. And so, no, I'm very interested in hearing if there are any questions. So.
If you're interested in asking a question, please press *6. You will then be entered into the queue, and once your time comes to ask your question, you'll be able to ask your question. Okay, last four digits, 8808. You may ask your question. Last four digits, 8808. You may ask your question.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that was me. I have a question. I'm a geriatric care manager, and I attend a lot of care plan meetings for families. And one thing that I've noticed in my experience is that sometimes if you ask too many questions, it's almost like they start getting defensive, even if you're not bringing up problems, but maybe like asking how they handle hydration issues or something like that. I find that a lot of times they get defensive, and I'm not really sure how to handle that or if you run into that or what your suggestion would be with that.
One of the things that I found really helpful, again, was sometimes preparing the facility staff with the questions ahead of time, saying that this is saying this particular area is of concern to this family, that they have some very specific questions about how often water is off, fluids are offered, or maybe to sort of frame it as a partnership. This is something that's really important. How can we together ensure that this resident is getting her fluid needs met or her nutrition needs met? And so that it becomes a problem-solving process instead of what can feel like an attack, which you're not being. You're just asking a very specific question. So I generally framed it as how can we think together about how to approach this? How is it you typically address this issue? And I found that that actually worked pretty well.
Okay.
I don't know what you think, Kathy.
Well, I don't think... I guess the one thing I would add to that is just making sure that the right people are present for the questions you're asking. So it definitely speaks to what you said, Nancy, is submitting those in advance because, you know, perhaps you have the activity director and social services director and CNA present for a care plan meeting, and maybe, you know, the nurse is not present at that particular time and can't answer. I can give you another real example. The nurse may be called away to do something else during a care plan conference. It's happened in the past. And I recall my activity director would be asked questions from the family about resident medications. And so, you know, she would fumble and do the best she could. So I think, you know, having questions, at least the nature of the questions that you're and issues of concern or for particular concern for the resident in advance is very helpful because then they can get the right people there. So.
Okay, no, that sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
Does anyone else have a question? Kathy and Nancy, would you like to discuss more about what challenges families may encounter in the care planning conference?
Go ahead, Nancy. Go ahead.
I was thinking about, I think what can be sometimes a difficult, a challenging discussion is when there needs to be a change in level of care, or there's a behavioral behavioral concern. Staff are trying to figure out how to care for a resident who is perhaps needs additional care, or for whom they're struggling with how to provide that care, and families are concerned, may have some concerns about the approach of that. And I'm thinking both sometimes residents who have dementia who may feel unsafe, may feel frightened, and so may be combative with staff, that can be a huge challenge. And depending on the expertise of the staff in the facility, staff may not know best how to, may not know how to approach the resident's care, and so may be struggling with, are medications indicated? Are there different approaches we can try? Does this resident belong in this facility? And that can, I think, be a very, very difficult scenario for both families and staff who are trying to figure out how to meet this resident's needs, and particularly if they don't have the level of expertise to respond to someone who has more aggressive or combative behaviors. And I found that the care planning process with those situations is really critical, because you can talk about to think in terms of how best do we care for this person? Do we need to bring in other resources? Is this the right facility? What other approaches might work with this resident? Are they having pain issues? Is there too much noise in the area they live in? What is it that seems to be affecting them? Behavioral issues are something that I think a lot of facilities struggle with and a lot of families struggle with, is how do we care for this person the best way we can.
I would agree, and I've been in many care plan conferences where the staff, may be sharing instances or examples of some of these behavioral occurrences, and, recognizing how devastating that can be for family members to hear that. Oftentimes in dementia we see behaviors that are so unlike the way that individual used to be. And so I always, try to prepare my staff and prepare myself, and certainly I didn't know this from the beginning. It took some time and some sophistication to handle those tactfully and thoughtfully. I mean, these are changes in a disease process, so it's difficult information to hear and to manage. And I agree with Nancy. If the staff aren't, fairly sophisticated in delivering that information, it's very challenging. And oftentimes it's not the physician that's perhaps having that conversation or that first conversation. I would add, one of the other challenging times are, I think, certainly for the staff and certainly for family members, is when it's evident that the resident may be nearing the end of his or her life. And it's very hard for staff, especially, residents who have resided in a facility for a long period of time. Facilities, they strive to create a home-like environment. Staff become very attached to residents. And when it is becoming evident that the individual is nearing the end of their life, again, that speaks to staff background and experience and sophistication with having those discussions. And again, families being on the receiving end of that. I think an example of maybe between a care plan conferences, or maybe in a previous 6 months, we've seen an increase in hospitalizations and frequent changes in medications, and perhaps these are signs that the residents' disease process is worsening. And so those can be very difficult times. And I agree with what Nancy said, you know, is this now an opportunity to think about or bringing in other resources?
Mm-hmm.
But that's tough, too, when you think about end of life. You know, often the discussions that the staff need to raise with the families are consideration maybe for hospice services. And that is, you know, very difficult.
Kathy, you bring up, I was thinking about the point you made that I'd forgotten to make earlier, which is that a family, you know, in addition to the regularly scheduled care plan meetings, when there's a change in condition, it can be an excellent time to have a care plan meeting. And particularly when you're focusing on something that is as sensitive and as difficult for both staff and families to talk about as end of life, it's an excellent time to convene a care plan meeting to talk about what next. Because there's some very difficult decisions that families may have to make about care and nutrition and pain medication that they may not have had to face before, that I think are really critical. They may need additional support services. I'm currently, actually, my current work is at a large nonprofit hospice, and these are issues that we struggle together with our partners in long-term care facilities on how best to support residents who are facing end of life. So that is a challenging time when a family may really should absolutely feel very free to say, I'd like to sit down with the team to talk about what next.
Does anyone else have any other questions? Please press star 6. Last 4 digits, 6088. Last 4 digits, 6088.
Hello?
Oh, we
Hello?
Can hear you. Hello?
Hi. I'm a family member, and what I struggle with in the care conferences and just day-to-day care is, you know, you spoke to about, like, the heart and preferences of the resident, and I can explain to them, like, what makes my mom more comfortable, what approach works, what doesn't, what makes her feel safe, what makes her feel empowered, and I bring this up to the staff. I bring it up in care conferences. And in care conferences, everybody's on the same page. You feel like, oh, great. You know, they're going to start applying everything that we talk about. And then it just kind of, you know, falls apart. And a lot of times I feel like I'm the physical therapist. I'm the staff member. I'm the nurse. So, and you talk about additional resources. What I'm wondering is there any way that I can, like, research or find additional resources to offer the nursing home, something else that they can tap into to maybe teach their staff?
Wow, what a great question. I was thinking, as you were talking about some of the family councils we've worked with in some of the local facilities that have asked this very questions and strategized with staff about how to communicate to ensure that information that occurs in the care plan meeting gets communicated across shifts and across disciplines, and that that's been something that that issue has come up in every single facility I've ever worked with, is how do you ensure that across shifts and across disciplines, across days, across weeks, that the information in the care plan gets implemented. And different facilities handle that different ways. Some of them have used communication books, some tape information. Some use some really creative, very personalized care plans to communicate the information to staff across disciplines and across shifts so that people get to know this person a little differently. But I think it's a really excellent question is how to most effectively do that.
I agree. With your comments, Nancy, I think the what seems to be missing is that continuity and the communication back. And so a couple of things. I think you should raise that issue and say, gee, I have communicated this information. It doesn't always seem to get to everyone necessary. So who can we make sure is included in the care plan conference are the CNAs, because it sounds like some of the things that you describe are tasks and responsibilities of the CNAs, and so having them there so they hear that information firsthand is going to certainly promote that these things are going to be implemented. I think another question is, we want to make sure that to the extent possible that facility is assigning the same CNA to care for the resident. And if not, it's a very fair question to take back and say, well, I would, now that we've provided this information, now that we all agree that this is what's best for my mom, can you give me an idea of how you're going to communicate that back to the people mm-hmm. who aren't here? I think that's a very fair question to pose to the staff sitting in that care plan conference with you.
I would agree. Having continuity of staffing is just critical. There's all sorts of research out there about both that from staff satisfaction point of view, but more importantly, patient, resident, and family satisfaction. When I was a nurse's aide, that was the best part of being an aide, was being able to care for the same person every day and really getting to know their patterns and their habits in a way that if I'd had a different resident every day, I would never have known that they wore glasses, they liked to get up at 10 a.m., or they liked to go to bed at 8 or whatever. So I think, Kathy, that frames the question really well.
I think I would add one more thing. We certainly, privacy and confidentiality and dignity are something that all nursing facilities should be keenly aware of. But I'm going to suggest that maybe you ask the home, what could I do? Perhaps it's a little one-page, clever little flyer that could be posted inside of your mom's closet door. So that when the CNA, goes in to maybe retrieve clothing or something, that that information is right there. Now, we can't do that publicly. There could be some privacy issues. I'll tell you that in the old days, when I first started in nursing homes, we had all these flyers and notices posted mm-hmm. ahead of the bed of the resident. Oh, don't turn on this side or turn every 2 hours on this side and all this instruction. Well, that's not particularly home-like. We don't have a set of instructions over our bed, the head of our bed. And so we've really gone away from doing that, and I think that's a good thing. But, could we put something, I worked in facilities where we had wardrobes, and we would have things inside, posted inside the wardrobe. And maybe it's just two, three, or four things that you think are just so critical to your mom's comfort that you really want to communicate. I think if it's a lot of information, people get bogged down. They're not, you know, likely to read it. But I think that that's one way you could facilitate that communication. And so ask the facility, what would you be permitted to do to help communicate that information to everyone that needs to know that?
There's some facilities use it, what's referred to as a person-centered care plan that really speaks to some of that as well, that states or frames the questions from the point of view of the resident. My name is so-and-so, and I prefer to do this. I like to get up at this time. I like to eat this. My favorite food is this. My favorite music is this. That can be a great way for staff to get to know the person in a different way than the person laying in that bed. So lots of creative things I think that you can do, but continuous staffing, I mean, consistent staffing is such a critical part of that.
Well, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Thank you for that information, most of which I have actually already tried. And unfortunately, you have some staff who, you know, are on the same page and some staff who are not. And what I have asked is for some of the staff members who are really, really good with my mom, so she has less behavioral issues and you know, she just responds really well. I have asked if there can be continuity of care, like have those CNAs work with my mom when they're there, instead of having the CNAs who make her combative, if you will, because of their approach, because they make her feel unsafe and, you know, uncomfortable, scared, et cetera, et cetera. So I've asked several times if, you know, the staff members who are good with her can work with her. And I've been told that they don't want to do that because it's not fair to the staff members. I mean, I'm sorry, to the CNAs. It's not fair to the CNAs to always have the same residents. And they need to know the preferences of all the residents, not just a few. Is there any way that I can ask that question in a different way?
Well, I think you're asking the right questions. I think one of the questions I guess I would have for you is how far up the chain of command have you taken that request? So if you haven't, perhaps, and I always encourage all my family members to start, you know, start with the CNA, start with the charge nurse. If your concerns aren't addressed, then you perhaps go to the director of nursing and the administrator after that. So that would be my first question back to you. You know, Nancy brought this up briefly, and it is true. All of the research out there demonstrates that residents do better when they have the same or to the extent we can, same staff caring for them day in and day out. I think that some facilities they're just not at that point yet, and they have fears. I was surprised that one of the reasons, and they may have said this to you, especially with individuals who display some untoward behaviors or individuals with dementia, there's still this mindset out there that staff will burn out quicker.
Right.
And so, but the thing is, the research doesn't really play out that way. It says, you know, that the same person, and so I would continue to, if you haven't already done so, to continue up that chain, and perhaps bring that up at a family council meeting and see, are there ways that you know, family council might be able to support the facility in such an endeavor? I think it's just it's the way of delivering care and long-term care now. It really should be seen that way. So
one of the things that I used to do in facilities as well was to do, when there was someone who really where the staff were struggling with the care of the person, or that was the perception, is to suggest, I mean, I used to do training with facility staff, but to look at, are there ways where the aides that are doing better with this person, who really have a lovely approach with the person, can they train the other aides? Can they partner with the other aides? That gets tricky because some people don't, that you don't want to foster a sense of competition, but if you can foster a sense of partnership that this person really is very effective with my dad. When she cares for my dad or my mom, they aren't combative. They really do well. Can we use them as a teacher? Can we certainly train others, but train them with that similar approach? And sometimes that can work. I don't blame you at all for wanting to have the person who knows your relative the best and who really does a nice job with the care. But not everybody has that special touch, unfortunately. So how do you teach that? And that's, I think, becomes the big thing for some facilities, is how do you share that information or that kind of consistent approach, if not the same person.
Great.
Yeah. Did anyone else have a question? If you have a question, please press star 6. Last four digits, 0904.
I was just wondering if you could point me in the direction of some of that research that you're talking about, as far as how much better residents do with continuity of staff and the effect on staff and that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's a great website, if you're not already aware, Advancing Excellence. It's a nursing home quality program that's free to homes across the country, and actually there are great resources in our quality improvement organization. Every state has a quality improvement organization with Medicare to help facilities with implementing that information. But if you go to, and I'm sorry, I believe the web address is N is in Nancy, H is in horse, quality campaign spelled out .org. I hope I have that right. If not, you can just enter Advancing Excellence into a search engine and it should pop up automatically. And what you'll find on that website, you know, the really great thing is they've already done all the work for all of us, and so there are a number of goals that facilities can elect to work on. And tools and resources also for these tools. And so one of the goals are staff stability and consistent assignments. And so you'll find some good information there. If you're, you know, actually looking for the actual research literature, I know that Nick Castle is one who's done a lot of research in this area. Barbara Bowers is one. But I think Advancing Excellence is a very good website for you to take a look at and get some really helpful information. And it's not only for nursing homes, it's also for consumers. You can sign up. You can go in and actually look at some of the data for some of the nursing homes. It's all publicly reported data. Now, they don't report on consistent assignments and staff stability that we've just been speaking about. But I think you'll find some helpful information there. It's a place to start. And there is a feature on that website that allows you to send an email if you want further information. What they've done with Advancing Excellence is they've hired national experts to help develop and update those goals. And it just underwent significant upgrade in about the last year. And so it's all very current information. So that's the one resource that comes to mind. Yeah. Maybe Nancy has...
That's the one that I was thinking about, as well as the NICNR, the National Consumer Voice for Quality Care, would be another website I would look at. I know there's some fact sheets on consistent staffing as well there. But I think the site you recommended is a really terrific place to start.
And, okay, you know, let me just add that I would say for a lot of nursing homes, this is still a relatively new concept, and others are very well down the path in terms of implementing this. In advancing excellence, I'm actually involved with a team. It's called ELAINE Team, Local Area Network of Excellence. We're the Illinois Lane for Advancing Excellence. And so we have actually done three programs now in the state, helping facilities to adopt a practice of consistent assignments and stabilizing staff. Because one of the things that you have to do, you've got to keep the good staff to be able to do consistent assignments. If the good staff are leaving, you're not going to have that consistency. So the first step for nursing homes and the first challenge is to get people to stay and then, you know, to assign them consistently. And certainly, I don't want to minimize, staff do burn out, but and it's appropriate to move people, but I think only after, you know, months and not day to day or week to week. I also, I'll tell you, as a director of nursing, I believe very much in right fit. So when I interviewed CNAs, I would interview them from the perspective of the open position I had on the schedule. So if it was on a dementia unit, I was looking for that nurturing and caring personality that would be a good fit and certainly experience. Now, there's other CNAs who different personality, different approach, who I would put on my short stay rehab unit because they were the ones to really push the residents and get them more involved in self-care and to get them home if that was their goal. So I think it's about matching, you know, the CNA to the right type of resident, residents that typically reside on a particular unit. But getting back to the LANE project, we have worked with approximately 15 homes in the state. We just wrapped up a project in Springfield, helping, teaching them the evidence and the research base for staff stability and consistent assignments. And the great thing is to see what happens over this 3-6 month period of time. And they'll come back and they'll say, boy, when we you know, stabilized our staff, really, you know, enforced our policies, kept the good people, maybe got rid of the people that shouldn't have been working there anymore, maybe they kept calling off or, you know, and we really stabilized our staff. We noticed we had a decrease in falls on our 300 wing, you know, because, again, it's that whole idea of having the same people or similar people there taking care of the residents. So I think that there's still a lot of homes that need that support and know that it's something that we are out there trying to help to do. And that there are some real efforts around improving that aspect of care and long-term care.
Does anyone else have a question? Please press *6 if you have a question. Nancy and Kathy, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to add? Oh, I'm sorry. Did we Did anyone else have a question? Please press star 6. If not, Nancy and Kathy will add any concluding remarks. Looks as though we have no more questions. So, Kathy and Nancy, if you can proceed with any closing remarks.
I guess my recommendation to the family members out there is to approach the care plan meeting as a real way to educate to the facility about who your relative is, as well as a way to partner with them on the care of your relative. It's a way to solve problems. It may not be, as Kathy has talked about, a way to bring up always sort of the new problems, those hopefully you are addressing along the way, but to really use it as a way to come up with goals together with the facility so that your relative gets the care that they need, and to take an active role in it and be the one driving the questions and the process as much as possible. Ask for what you need.
Well, and I would concur, and I'd say I am so thankful that you have these calls and that there's good participation, because we're all partners in providing better and, you know, and improved resident care. And so just be aware that your participation is just so important as we all strive to get better each and every day we're out there delivering caring and caring for our frail population. So I thank you for your involvement and participation.
I thank you as well.
This concludes our conference call on care planning for family members. This was sponsored by Illinois Citizens for Better Care. If you would be interested in joining Illinois Citizens for Better Care, you can join online, or you can send us an email at icbc@core.com, or give us a call at 312-663-5120. If you would be interested in future calls and have any ideas, please feel free to contact me, Amber Williams, Community Outreach Coordinator, at amber@core.com or 312-663-5120. Thank you, everyone, for participating in this call.